This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Tuesday, September 18th, 2012. I'm Caleb Brown. Today marks the release of the Economic Freedom of the World Index, and once again, it has bad news for the United States. The U.S. has fallen from among the very top nations in economic freedom to an overall 18th. James Gwartney helps prepare the report. We spoke yesterday. The United States is the country that, of course, we care about most in terms of economic freedom because it is the country that has for so long been sort of a beacon of economic freedom around the world. Where is the United States as of this latest report?
Well, interestingly, the U.S. has been in a decline since 2000, so over the last decade. And we'd fallen by 2005, had fallen to 8th place, and by 2008 to 10th. And in this most recent report, the U.S. has fallen to 18th. And by putting that in context, in the period 1980 to 2000, the U.S. ranked third, all during that period, behind only Hong Kong and Singapore. Fell to where countries like Canada and New Zealand and Australia were ahead of us for a period of time, but now we've fallen where countries like Finland and Denmark, for example, European welfare states, now rank ahead of the United States.
Now, the United States is, as I understand it, following a general trend of declining economic liberty. Is that the case?
That's correct. And over the last decade, that actually economic freedom in the United States increased in the 1980s and the 1990s. And since 2000, it's fallen quite dramatically, and particularly in terms of the rating has fallen a full point. Now, that may not sound like very much, but it's our components are on a 0 to 10 scale, and the summary index in which we've fallen nearly a full point in the last decade ranges from a low of around 3 to a high, Hong Kong's high, of around 9. So it's in a rather narrow range. So a decline of 1 point is really quite a dramatic decline.
What have been some of the success stories around the world? I know that years ago, Mauritius was celebrated as being a country that had made significant changes and had made significant gains in economic freedom and its own economic performance.
That's correct. And Mauritius is still in the top 10. Other success stories would certainly include Chile, which, if you want to go back to the mid-1970s, that in the Economic Freedom of the World report, actually Chile was second from the bottom. Now, there were fewer countries back then, like 75 countries in that particular report. But they've moved from being second to the bottom to being in the top 10. And Finland is a rather interesting case, and I think particularly given that it has the reputation of being a European welfare state, that it's rather steadily increased over the last two decades and is now moved into the top 10.
Other researchers could come along and rebalance a lot of your components and quite possibly produce different rankings. But for the purpose of the United States regaining the most important elements of economic freedom and climbing those rankings again, what should the United States be focused on?
Well, the U.S. decline has been pretty much across the board. The index is broken into five areas, size of government and legal structure and protection of property rights, access to sound money and freedom of international exchange, and regulation of credit and labor markets and business. And the U.S. decline has been in all of those areas, except really money, where it's been basically the same today as it was a decade ago. But a rather sharp decline in legal structure and protection of property rights, and a substantial decline, a little more than 1 point, in size of government and the regulation area, and the freedom of international exchange. And the index actually pinpoints some rather specific areas in each of those areas that I'd be happy to go into more detail in if you think it appropriate.
Absolutely. What about with respect to regulation specifically?
Well, regulation of credit markets, the component where the U.S. has made the most dramatic decline is the share of credit allocated to the private sector as a share of total credit. And all during the 1980s and 1990s, that figure was more than 90% in the case of the United States, which gave us a ranking of nine or higher all during that period. Now, in the most recent decade, we've slipped to, in the 2010 report, only about 50% of the credit in the United States is allocated to the private sector, which is means that we have a very one of the higher ratios in the world of credit allocated to the government rather than to the private sector. And so our rating now is less than one. So you've had a fall from almost 10 to virtually zero in that particular component. You've also had declines in the regulation related to how easy it is to start a business, the administrative cost associated with compliance with various types of business regulations. The minimum wage law is pushed up, pushed down the U.S. rating in that particular area. So those would be major areas of where regulation has led to a decline in the U.S. rating in Area 5.
And with respect to legal structure and the protection of property, how has the United States fallen in that regard?
Among the components in that area, one of the components is independence of the judiciary. We've fallen rather substantially. That actually is a survey component out of the Global Competitiveness Report. And the we've fallen rather substantially in that area. Another component in the legal structure is protection of property rights. And the property rights protection rating is much lower today than it was in 2000. Now, it's difficult to pinpoint precisely what would be the factors underlying those, but certainly the Supreme Court's Kelo decision giving the government greater discretion to take private property and from one party and transfer it to another, the substitution of essentially a rule of law bankruptcy procedure as took place in the auto industry for Chrysler and General Motors, substitution of a rule of law bankruptcy for a politicized bankruptcy, again, undermines the independence of the judiciary. And certainly those factors would be contributing to our decline in that legal structure area.
I hate to do it to our listeners, but I will ask, can you rattle off again some of the names of countries that have now surpassed the United States in economic freedom?
Yeah, I mentioned ones that would not at all be surprising, certainly Canada and Australia and New Zealand, Switzerland, all of which are quite significantly above the United States now, 0.3 to 0.5 of a point. But other countries would include, which people might be surprised by, would be include United Arab Emirates, Bahrain. I mentioned both Denmark and Finland. One that I personally was surprised by is Qatar. Taiwan has a higher economic freedom rating than the United States. Taiwan, by the way, you had asked about success stories, falls into that category as well. A country that's rating has increased rather substantially and rather steadily over the last quarter of a century and has gone from the middle of the pack among the 144 countries in the index to now I believe Taiwan is either 16th or 17th, just ahead of the United States, which is 18th.
In recent years, I think throughout the 2000s, people have been increasingly concerned about the rise of state capitalism. That is, capitalism existing for the most part at the direction of the state, and China has been offered as a model for that. How has China fared with respect to economic freedom, and do the contents of this index and recent indexes make you concerned about the rise of state capitalism?
Yeah, that's a very interesting question. Certainly, China made substantial increases in economic freedom during the 80s and 90s, and it moved from one of the least free economies in the world to up into where it was rose as high as like 90. And India has also, since 1990, made rather substantial increases. But the latest index, 2010, would suggest that both India and China, that their move toward economic freedom has slowed. That they're roughly, right off the top of my head, I'm not exactly sure about the ranking, but both of those countries would be between 105 and 110 now. So they've actually slipped back a little bit from where they were 3 or 4 years ago. And I do think that reflects reality, that the move, the pressures toward moving toward a more liberal economy in both China and India, it seems to me have slowed, and certainly the economic freedom of the world data would be consistent with that view.
Now, is part of that just the fact that these countries have for a very long time had very low standards of living, and those standards of living have increased dramatically, and in response to those dramatic increases, maybe the pressure is simply not there?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. I also think the very rapid increases in income that we observe, particularly in China, reflect that they were starting at a relatively low level and that it's much easier to increase your income when it's, say, an annual income of $2,000 a year than when your annual income approaches $7,000 a year. I also think it's easy to forget that people that China is still a very poor country. You've a lot of times see people saying, well, the size of the Chinese economy is about may overtake the United States sometime in the relatively near future. Well, they're talking about the total size of the Chinese economy, which of course has roughly 1.2 billion people, four times the figure of the United States. The per capita income of China is about one-seventh that of the United States. So China is still a very poor country. And the per capita income of India is even lower than China. So they made some rather dramatic increases in income associated with their liberalization during the 80s and 90s. But that process of economic liberalization has stalled, and I think it's only a period of time until the rapid growth of income is also going to stall in those countries unless they make a shift and move toward continued liberalization.
James Gwartney is co-author of the Economic Freedom of the World Report. You can order your copy of the report at cato.org.